On June 13th, ScienceWorks is featuring a talk on how fire works. If you've experienced summer in Southern Oregon, you're likely familiar with the destructive properties of wildfires. But fire has more purpose than just to destroy. My guest will help us learn more. Belinda Brown is the Director of Tribal Partnerships at Loma Kotze and chairs the Intertribal Ecosystem Restoration Partnership. She's giving a talk on how fire works at ScienceWorks in Ashland on June 13th. Welcome to the exchange, Belinda.
Thank you, Mike.
So let's start with learning a little bit about you first. Tell me about your work.
Thank you, Mike. I'm a Kosalekta Band member of the Ojibwe Osage Nation, otherwise known as the Pit River Tribe, and that's located in northeastern California across four counties, Modoc, Shasta, Lassen, and Siskiyou.
Hold on. You lost me at the name. Let's go back. Tell me the name again.
Kosalekta. Kosalekta Band of the Ojibwe Osage Nation, otherwise known as the Pit River Tribe. In our language, Kosalekta means juniper. So we're the people from the juniper hillside. Kosalekta we is. Is means people in our language.
Kosalekta.
Kosalekta. Kosalekta we is. We're the people from the juniper hillside.
Kosalekta we is. The people from the juniper hillside.
Correct.
Beautiful. Now tell me where that is.
Now that is in northeastern California near the town of Altures. Altures, California is our ancestral band area within the Ojibwe Osage Nation's land base.
Okay. And so you were telling me the counties.
The counties are Modoc, Lassen, Shasta, and Siskiyou counties, 3.5 million acres that we have in our ancestral territory, including Medicine Lake Highlands, the new national monument, Satitla Highlands.
And they still call it the Pit River Tribe?
They call it the Pit River Tribe. However, that is a very derogatory name. Ooh. It was the pits that our Aboriginal ancestors dug by the river that were a nuisance to the cavalry who came through, and their horses and their people fell into the pits. So we got the name Pit River from the settlers, and that is why we were called the Pit and the Digger Indians, because we dug roots for our food. So both terms are derogatory terms.
So tell me the preferred term.
Ojibwe. Ojibwe means river in our language. Ojibwe is, we're all the people of the river.
Ojibwe is.
Ojibwe is. So Ojibwe means river. So mm-hmm. That's the name of the Pit River, Ojibwe.
Okay. And so tell me about growing up.
Growing up, I had a very rich childhood. I actually am adopted. So I was adopted at 7 days old. I was adopted into a ranching family. So Les and Grace Franks adopted me. We had a big 1,200-acre ranch, and it was right next to my real grandfather, who had 12,000 acres of a reservation called the Pit River Home and Agricultural Association, and his name was Aaron Forrest. So I was able to be raised with my natural family and my adopted family, and grew up with no TV. We had a wood stove until I was 9 years old. We canned, we had a huge garden, and we had registered Devon cattle. We also had a ranch in Chico, California, and we moved cattle back and forth between those ranches.
So you grew up on a ranch?
I grew up on a ranch.
Where?
In Altures, California, Joseph Creek Ranch in Modoc County.
Okay. And how would you describe your childhood? What are some of your fondest memories?
Fondest memories, that includes fire too, is working with my dad out on the ranch, working in the garden. I like to work outside. I would choose outside work over inside work any day. So a lot of bucking hay, one of my first jobs, working cows, And then with my dad and my grandfather, when we talk about burning, one of my favorite jobs as 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old was dragging fire through the fields. In the spring, in the fall, we burnt the fields. So we did a lot of agricultural burning, much like our ancestors did for the patch burning that they did for plants and for the roots and for all of our foods, our first foods that we gathered as hunters and gatherers. So my lifestyle wasn't that far removed from the hunter-gatherer family.
Okay, and so that was your first exposure to fire. And
yes.
It's been with you all your life.
It has been.
So you have learned. What have you learned from fire?
What I have learned is that fire is medicine for the land. People and fire need to be on the land. We're not separate as biological creatures from the land. It is nurturing us. It's our mother in our native Aboriginal thought. The earth is our mother and needs care. So these prescriptive treatments that we have for the land today are really important. We have been 150, 200 years without the people using fire as a land management tool. And because of that, we are experiencing mega fires, fires with heavy, heavy fuel loads in the forest that are destroying cities, destroying habitat. And it is due to the removal of people as the first best stewards who manage this land very, very intentionally and meaningfully with fire as a land management tool, anthropogenic fire.
So usually we steer kids away from fire. We don't want them to become pyromaniacs. They fear fire. And you didn't fear fire.
Well, I believe that it is healthy to have respect for fire. And we just did a cultural fire training and activity with the Klamath tribes a week ago. And many of us started our experience and our relationship with fire by playing with matches as little kids. So we got the lessons from our elders and from our parents of what to do and what not to do with fire. There needs to be respect for fire. However, fire is good for the land, and fire is one of the sacred elements that we use to treat the land. So again, healthy respect for fire. Fire is a spirit. Fire is something that we live with. So like everything else that we live with, we need to build that relationship. And in building that relationship, we are less afraid of what fire can do.
It's interesting that you refer to fire as a spirit. Let me remind everyone of who my guest is. My guest is Belinda Brown. She's the director of tribal partnerships at Loma Katsi and will be giving a talk on how fire works at Science Works on June 13th. So you talk about fire as a spirit and not as an it, an object, as we think of fire. Tell me more about that.
For many of us, I like to encourage everybody that they're indigenous to some place on this earth. It's really important to understand that this is in your genetic DNA and memory also as hunter and gatherer peoples, the basic root of fire being in ceremony. And it's the ceremonies and the prayers and the rituals that we keep as a people, and they keep us also, a lot of times are centered around fire. So that relationship with fire, again, is really important. The prayers that go into a ceremony before we go and gather acorns. The oak trees around this Rogue Basin need fire. They were managed with fire, so that's a first food. So again, going back to the songs and the ceremonies, the fires that we participate in before we go and gather, before we give thanks, before we have a ceremony with the people. So that relationship with fire is in all of our genetic DNA, and us living in that close harmony with the earth is also in our DNA. So you are indigenous to somewhere on this earth. We are Aboriginal to here Every one of you are indigenous to some place on this earth, and you go back to a singing and a drumming and a dancing society and a hunter and a gatherer populations. So we all have that connection. And I believe the fires of today, even though they're not ceremonial fires, they are still bringing us together as a people, and we're still having to come up with solutions to how to manage this challenging issue that we have with fire today.
You know, it's interesting because when you talk about we're all from different places, indigenous to different places, but we're here together in a mix of different cultures, different mindsets, and we're here on your land and bringing with us a different mindset. Tell me some about how do you look at the differences between the environmental fire strategy of Oregon tribes and the state of Oregon and the federal government?
Well, there is currently a marriage of Western science. Fire ecology came about early 60s, about 1963, and our people, as the first best stewards of the land, have been putting fire on the ground for time immemorial. So what Western science and agencies are coming to realize is that our Aboriginal people really get the I Told You So award. We did know what we were doing with fire, and Western science and Aboriginal anthropogenic fire is now being married. So what we have here in the conditions of our forests with heavy fuels from departed management for the last 150 years is we have a situation where we have to go in and ecologically thin the forest. So there's a heavy lift of that ecological thinning before we can put prescribed fire back into the system and then eventually manage with cultural fire like our Aboriginal ancestors did. So we can't just go in and put cultural fire, cool fire on the ground right now. We would have a mega fire situation. We first have to prepare for that fire to come. So it's an ecological thinning prescription, then it's a prescribed fire prescription, and then we can maintain with that cultural fire.
So on June 13th, you're going to be educating the folks at ScienceWorks. Tell me what that'll be about.
Hopefully that will be about children, parents, community members coming to learn about fire and not being afraid of fire, being able to make friends with it, knowing and understanding that fire works, connecting them with their own sense of how they would apply fire, what their experience is with fire, and how then we can keep that spark going of knowledge of we need people back on the land and we need fire as a land management tool. And we shouldn't be afraid of that, that we should be working together to make sure that we care for these communities, these lands, this habitat, even for the four-legged creatures, the winged creatures, the fish that need us to manage the land. We are separate from that now, disconnected from that. So the heart of this is to connect people with their own Aboriginal knowledge, their own Indigenous thought, and their own Indigenous learning and healing so that we can come together for solutions now and in the future to mitigate the mega fires that we're experiencing.
Okay, now I have about a minute left, but I understand that there's going to be some other activities like basket weaving. There'll be a short film. Tell me about that.
Well, just this last weekend, we were out in the Nevada desert digging baja, yampa, paradiridia. So these plants that we depend on for our foods are managed by fire. So our women manage those culturally for fire. Also our basket weaving plants like the hazel, the willow. So those were managed with fire so that we would have straight shoots of those plant materials that we could weave with. And I believe as we participate in those activities, people will understand the importance of fire, why it's put on the ground, why we need to be part of the solution to bring fire back into our ecosystem for health and healing for the land and people.
Excellent. Thank you, Belinda. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.